Today, I am still a stage four patient going strong. I'm a thriver, I say. And we are currently, it has spread to my spleen, my lungs, and throughout my body. I've had two surgeries where they've put a titanium rod down my femur to strengthen it because the cancer had taken over most of the bones, so they became extremely fragile. So I had those rods put in, and we're currently figuring out a chemo regimen that will actually get it under control because it's kind of slowly spreading still.
And so one thing we talked about before was this concept of dancing through chemo. Explain that concept to people.
So I started dancing through chemo because I found myself starting chemo again, feeling a lot of the feelings that I felt the first time, and it would literally make me sick and nauseous. And I just kind of I knew I had to do something to get my mind off of it. And so I started dancing in my little cubicle before my chemo treatments to kind of get my mind in a positive place. And my husband decided to videotape it, and it kind of caught on to everybody at the treatment center as well as at home. So we decided to keep going with it and have a lot of fun with it. So it became something that we were looking forward to the chemo instead of dreading the chemo, which is a huge thing. You know, huge thing is mindset for cancer patients. And also, you know, I have two young daughters that I wanted to make sure they had a positive spin on everything that they're going through.
And so one way you've gotten them involved is dancing in the videos as well. Is that right? And talk about just in general, like, the openness you've had.
We've never shut them out from a conversation. We've always answered their questions. We kind of have kept the severity of this. Like, realistically, a stage four patient only lives 2 to 3 years, and I'm coming up in my third year. So I'm pretty happy with how I'm doing. And I plan on breaking that barrier. But, you know, the reality of the situation can be very scary for a child. So they know that I have cancer. They kind of know what cancer is, that it's a disease that we have to have special medicine for and to take care of. And it causes me to feel really sick. But it has amazed me how resilient my kids are. I mean, my youngest, she's 9. She, she'll start during my chemo weeks. She'll come up to me and say, "Hey, Mom, how are you doing today? You know, how are you feeling today?" And like the other day, I drove her to Girl Scouts, and she was like, "Mom, who's going to drive me to Girl Scouts? Because I normally don't drive." And I said, "I am." She goes, "Are you sure?" And so she's got a very mature mentality when it comes to facing this. And I think being positive but being realistic with them, I think, has been the key.
And how have you been feeling? I know you'd mentioned we're on a week where you're not getting the chemo treatment. Is that right? Does that fluctuate things?
Yeah, I have good weeks and I have bad weeks. Right now I'm on a regimen where I have chemo back-to-back weeks, and then I get 1 week free. And this is my good week, so I get to do a little bit more. I'm not on as much medicine as I am when I'm not feeling well. So it feels good. I still have to deal with the pain from the bone mets. That's the one thing that lingers that we can't seem to get a handle on. But it's nice to have a good week where I can cook dinner and I can have a normal-ish life rather than laying in bed and being bedridden for the other 2 weeks.
Have you found a community to connect with? Obviously, there's a lot of probably cancer support groups out there, but given your age and being stage four, have you found people, peers that you can connect with?
I have. I have kind of a few different groups that I've really connected with. You know, one is my Young Survivors Coalition Girls, where we're all under the age of 40 dealing with cancer, breast cancer of some kind. Then I have my stage four friends locally that I know and we kind of connect with, because when you hear stage four, you automatically bond with somebody. And then I also have my Cancer Treatment Centers of America group. All the people that I meet when I go up to Cancer Treatment Centers of America, we have a Facebook group that we all belong to. So when we're going to be in town, we put it in there and we connect, and we, you know, we're all over the nation. We're all over the states.
Can you talk as well about the blog and, in a way, you've become the poster, kind of one of the poster children, I don't know if that's the word necessarily, but literally used for posters for the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. So just like having that sort of public persona and staying engaged.
Well, I don't work anymore. I had to, you know, step back with my career just because I was in and out of the hospitals and wasn't able to maintain a job. But I've found that it is important for me to stay active in the community, whether it's posting on Facebook or posting in my blog or participating in some sort of a media blitz with, you know, Cancer Treatment Centers of America or American Cancer Society or Susan G. Komen, because, you know, I've had so many people come up to me and say, hey, I follow your story, you know, it makes me realize this little stuff that I'm dealing with day to day is not really that big of a deal. Or, you know, there's a stage, you know, stage four friend will come up and be like, you know, it's so good to know that I'm not alone. Because stage four is a very scary kind of diagnosis. And my main goal is to break that stereotype and show that you can actually live with it as a chronic disease rather than terminal and thrive, not just survive.
And what are the kind of things you draw like inspiration and hope from just to cope on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis?
I would say first and foremost, my kids. You know, they always, it's hard to not have a smile on your face when you're around them. So definitely I survive, you know, basically for them. But those random people that will send me a card, or I had one woman make me a quilt out of my old T-shirts. I can't even tell you how many people have brought us dinner just because they said they wanted to do something. You know, it just, those little acts mean the most when I'm at my lowest.
And so what would you say kind of in that vein to people who maybe a family member or friend is newly diagnosed, and it can be hard, I'm sure, to know what to say, mm-hmm. And how to react. So what would you tell somebody who's maybe newly diagnosed, but then also the family members who want to help?
I would say to the survivor to stay open to help, because it's hard to get in the swing of things to accept help, especially if you're a very, very independent woman like I was. It's very hard to say, okay, yeah, sure, bring dinner. It's way easier to say, we'll figure something out or we'll order a pizza. And for the family members, you know, just to continue reaching out. Sometimes, you know, survivors, everybody reacts to this kind of news differently. And so it might take one or two, maybe three times for you asking them if they want to go to a movie or if want to grab coffee. It may take a few times to ask them for them to say yes, but it's the effort that makes the biggest difference.
And so you recently went live on Facebook and got your head shaved. Why, just to kind of explain to people why that like is a evolving thing, because for instance, I don't totally, you know, understand when do you decide, and then also, you know, why to be so open about it in the way you are.
Well, we decided, I've been going live and playing around with the live feature with giving people updates, and I really wanted to do something a little bit more, more involved in my life, you know, to really be able to understand what somebody goes through, the different emotions, the different, you know, everything that you have to go through. But, so we decided to go live and shave my head. We've always, you know, whenever I've shaved my head, we've always made it a fun thing. The very, very first time I videotaped it, it's on YouTube. My daughter was 3, so we had a bunch of people over and made it a party. We had FaceTimed my sister in Kansas, and, you know, so she made little comments like, oh, Mom, and you're going to look like Daddy, and she's going to wear her wiggy, because we went and bought a wig, and I brought her with me, so since she was so young, it was important for me to show her that we're doing this, but it was positive. So you kind of know when it's time to buzz your head, when your hair really starts falling out in clumps, and I was shedding like a cat. It was horrible, and it just, you know, it's kind of, you just know. I tried to make it last for a long time before, and it was, and it kind of hurt. So so we got the family together. Allowed my daughter to do some as well, and she had a blast shaving Mom's head. But, you know, it was cool to do the Facebook Live because you could have the actual comments of people. I mean, people were watching it live with you. So, you know, my husband was reading off the comments as we were doing it, and it was really neat. You know, the second time I went bald, we did a music video, and this was fun.
So moving ahead here, we were talking earlier and you know, said how you kind of take it moment by moment, see what the doctors are going to tell you as you check in and all that. But looking ahead, what can be seen, I guess?
Well, we're looking to get this under control so my tumor markers stop growing.
And what does that mean exactly, the tumor markers?
Tumor markers are basically a marker of how, it's kind of hard, it's they test it through your blood, so I think it's based on how many tumor cells they find in your bloodstream. They can test it for different, it's so crazy how technology has just, it's wild. So I have like a breast tumor marker, I have a liver tumor marker, and I have a bone tumor marker that they all check, and they've been going up, so we're hoping to get that to stop at least or go down. And if it doesn't change by this next time, we'll probably be changing up our chemo regimen, and I'm probably going to be on chemo for the rest of my life. It's just one of those things where we treat it as chronic instead of terminal. So my doctor's always said, oh, we're going to treat it just like it's diabetes. You know, you have to have some medicine for it, and but it's not going to kill you anytime soon, so.
And nobody would want to have cancer be what defines them, but granted how young you were when you were first diagnosed and how you've been dealing with it for the last 3 years now, what do you, you know, hope is the kind of lesson that people can learn from your example?
I hope they can take away and learn what really comes with a cancer diagnosis, you know, especially with a stage 4 cancer diagnosis, because it's so different than stage 1, 2, or 3. You know, you have surgery to remove it, you have chemo to prevent it and radiation to prevent it, and then it's gone. With stage 4, it's just there all the time, and you just kind of have to pray that the medicines work. But if you end up in a stage 4 situation, it's not the end of the world. You can survive. You can thrive. You can do it. And you can have a fulfilling life with it.